Let's read here, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The man that is rich toward God is the man who establishes quickly the priority of his life. And it's not things. Your life does not consist of the things that you possess. They're all temporary. Amen. They're all temporary. And, you know, if we're not very careful, we get right in the same trap of the mentality of the world. We think like the world in the church. And we don't need to do that. We need to think as spiritual people. We need to think like people who have gained wisdom because we're people of the Word of God. And so our thinking, the way that we see life, the way we respond to circumstances in our life, it's all different because our perspective is we know that souls and the spiritual life is so much more. It can't even be compared with the things of this world. It cannot be. And so it's the most precious thing. I don't know if you think about this, but oftentimes whenever we have a little baby and we bring him to the baby to the platform for that baby to be offered to the Lord in dedication, it's very rare that it doesn't run through my mind that I'm holding a baby in my arms and this is not just a little physical body, but this is a living soul. This is a living soul that's not just going to live out the days of their life, but this is a precious life, living soul that is going to live on and on and on and on in eternity. When we consider that and we think about, when we have that kind of a perspective that we're about, it ought to change the way we respond to people in the world. Ought to change the way that we think about the lost. And that we show love and we show compassion and we show a desire to help them. Whatever we can possibly do by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit of God to point them to Jesus and help them to understand that they are going to live on beyond this life. It's a serious thing to think about, to consider. And as Christians, that's the way we are to be thinking. That's the way that we, and not like the ways of the world. The world is caught up in the things that they have. Because that's the sum total of their life. What they can accumulate, what they can have in their houses and their cars and all these things, when we view them as only the blessing of the Lord and temporary in this life, then it's fine. But whenever we think like the world and we have the wisdom of the world, then we see those things that we have, they don't just consist, but they literally possess us. And they control us and they affect the way that we live. You see, men are souls because God gives the preciousness of eternal existence. He breathed, he formed the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the earth. And the Bible says, God breathed the breath of life into him and caused that form to come to life. And not only that, but for that man to become a living soul. That's what it says, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, an eternal soul. What an amazing thing to consider. Now we can't, I don't know if you ever think about this, but every one of us needs to. As spiritual people, we need to think about this world is temporary. There is another world coming. Amen. Another world coming. I read in the paper today about a man who was 102 years old, and he passed away this week. And when he turned 100, they said to him, you know, what do you have to say about your 100 years? And he said something like, I'm just ready to go and be with the Lord. I'm just ready. I'm through with this world. And he was physically, you know, worn out. Obviously, 100 years. He said, I just want to be. And he was quoted in the national news as saying, I just want to go home and be with the Lord. Amen. Because it's over. And I just want to be. And so the closer that you get, the older you get, the more of an eternal perspective we need to get. What I'm doing right now is only going to matter if I'm investing in the kingdom of God. All the things that I'm doing right now, does it have an eternal effect? Are there going to be eternal consequences for the things I'm doing, the decisions that I'm making? We need to think that way. When you're very young, you don't. You're thinking about, you know, getting through school and survival and who am I going to marry and getting my life started and all these things. What's my business going to be or my career going to be? What am I going to do with my life and my future? But there has to be, or there should be, in every believer, regardless of your age, the considering of the fact that God made you a living soul. And where are you going to spend that eternal existence? Depends upon whether or not you have truly put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have truly been born again of the Spirit. The world doesn't think that way. The world is thinking about temporal things. Don't let that creep into your thinking. The world is thinking about, you know, the things that exist in this world. One of the biggest reminders to us that is that people they have more regard even for their physical body than they do their spiritual person is all the emphasis that's given to the physical in this world. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying that bodily exercise is bad. It's not bad. It's a good thing, and it's an important thing, and I need to do more of it. But the Bible is clear. Bodily exercise profits little. The profit, it means that our focus of our life is not to just be up on this physical frame to a certain minimal degree, but our real emphasis needs to be upon the spiritual man, the soul of a man. That lives on and on and on and on. Why do you think that there is a multi-million dollar business of, you know, fixing everybody up? You know, the cosmetic industry and all of these things, you know, all kinds of trinkets and all trying to fix up this physical body. And that's where the emphasis is. Concerned about, you know, how we look and how we can take care of the physical body. Again, that the Bible's very clear about that. The priority is to be upon the spiritual man. Amen. The spiritual man. 1 Timothy 2 in verses 9 and 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or, you know, extravagant hairstyles, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. The emphasis is not to be upon all these expensive things, but then it tells in verse 10, what's the priority to be? That which becometh godliness, but which becometh women professing godliness and good works. There's the priority. Our life needs to be focused upon serving God, being a godly person, and doing good works.
living for the Lord, serving the Lord, living out the days of our life. So let's not move into the spirit of and the attitude of the world and try to be like the world with all of this emphasis upon the physical world. If we do, then we become worldly minded, we become carnally minded, and we lose our eternal perspective. Amen. Amen. God help us to make sure that our adornment is spiritual things, that we be known as godly people, that we be known as people who walk with God, spiritual people, living godly and doing good works in this world. That should be the priority of our life. Solomon was a man who had everything. He was the wisest man and probably the wealthiest man of his day. But whenever he wrote about all these things that he had in his life, he would repeat the phrase, vanity, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. He was just saying, this is all empty. The word vanity just means empty, worthless, in comparison to the things that really count for time and eternity. He was saying, all of this wealth and all that I own and all of my power and influence, it's all vanity of vanities. Because he saw in his life that he was living out the days of his life and the thing that really matters. And that's what he says. The last two verses of Ecclesiastes. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, I'm summing it all up. Everything that I've talked about. I want to sum it all up. Here it is in these last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So to be a people that are soul conscious, we see that, we understand that we are eternal, that we are beings of eternal existence, and that everyone you come in contact with, everyone that you see in this world and that God brings into your life and you cross paths with them, they have an eternal existence. They're gonna wind up in heaven or in hell. They're going to wind up either in the presence of God or separated from God for all of eternity. Everyone that we meet, everyone that we talk to. So that has to be the emphasis of our life. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. These were physical things that were important, that you would prosper, you would have the things that you would have need of, and that you would have health also as a provision of the Lord. I'm not saying he's not concerned about our physical needs or even our financial needs. He is concerned about all of these things. Even as thy soul prospereth. Soul prosperity. That's what really matters, isn't it? That's what really matters, that person has met the Lord. They know the Lord. Now, that there may be, and there are people that I have known of over the years, that the Lord blessed them with financial prosperity. And I've read many stories of people who that God used with financial prosperity. It was because that they did not do what this man in Luke chapter 12 did. Because you see, all that he gained, and his land was very fruitful. He filled up all of his barns, and when they were full and there was a surplus, he made the wrong decision. When he had the surplus, that's when he should have been asking, okay, God, I have everything that I could ever need or want. Why are you giving me this surplus? What is your purpose for this? How do you want me to use this? And if you ask God that kind of a prayer, then God will certainly answer your prayer and tell you where to put the surplus. I've known of churches who would have a nice facility, nice property, and have a $500,000 in the bank missionary would come by and they would scrape around and come up with $100 or $150 to give to the missionary. They would have $500,000. I know of a church that some years back that had that sum of money setting back. They didn't need the money. They were saving it for a rainy day or something. You know why God gives a surplus to you or to me? Because he's already provided everything that we could physically ever need. And this man made the decision. And he had a little council meeting. Sadly, he only counseled with himself. He said, I said to my soul, he talked to himself. You know, let me tell you, if you want to know what to do with what God has blessed you with, just come and talk to me about it. If you got too much, if you got too much, come and talk to me about it, because I can point you to many, many, many ministries, many, many opportunities for carrying the gospel all over the world, and the opportunities that are so great. Amen. So many ways that those overflowing resources that God gives to you, he gives them to you for a purpose, that you can bless the kingdom of God. But instead, this man said, this is what I'm going to do, after he took counsel with himself. I'm going to just tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'm going to make sure that I got room for all this surplus. You see, the reason that I know that he made a serious mistake is because he wasn't considering his own mortality. He wasn't considering the fact that his life and his future was in the hands of God. Amen. He did know that he was going to step into eternity that very night. He didn't know. If he would have known, do you think he would have done things differently? I'm quite sure he would have. If he would have been eternally focused and spiritually focused and understand that all the things that God gives to us are his wonderful blessings that he sends our way. Amen. Glory to God. As your soul prospers, God takes care of your financial needs. He helps you in every detail of the areas of your life that he gives to you. But this man made a very terrible decision. He tore down his old barns. He built bigger barns. And he said, there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. That's the way the world thinks. That's the thinking of the world. Do I have enough to, you know, to take me till I'm 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years old? Do I have enough held up and, you know, make sure that I'm taking care of my future without considering the fact that our life is short and we are to use what God gives to us? By the way, you're not going to run out, because if you become the channel that God uses, I didn't really intend to talk about money tonight, but here we go. If you become the channel that God uses, I can assure you that the promises of God are not going to let you down. God is going to provide for you. Amen. If you just determine, Lord, I want to be a channel that you can flow through me so that I can give to the poor, I can give to the needy, I can give to the work of the kingdom of God. And Lord, as you provide for me, that I will be that vessel, that channel that you can use. But instead, this man said, no, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to accumulate for the future. But he didn't realize that his future in this world was already over. Already over. I've known of people like this who've done it. I've told you before about a man in the church that I grew up in as a young person. He was probably one of the most influential men in our church, a young man. I thought he was old then, but I was a kid. Kids think young men are old. And I thought he was old, but he wasn't very old at all. But he played the accordion. And he was in our children's church when I was just a young boy, and he sang those songs, and he conducted the children's service, and he was a man of God. And I remember I felt the touch of God. I sensed the influence of that godly man upon my life. I was looking for that. My dad wasn't a Christian, a good man, but he wasn't serving the Lord. And I was watching that man. When I got in my teen years, this man failed. He failed. He left his family. And he lost his sense of direction for his life. And I'll never forget, because one of the songs that he used to sing, and he would play the piano in church and sing that song. It's an older song. Some of you may have heard it. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. That was some of the words of that song. I don't remember it all. But that's exactly what he did. He wasted years. And years later, now when I'm a pastor and I go to see him, and he was nice enough to me, but I could see the hardness in his eyes. He was an old man now, and he was not, you know, not responsive at all. No, I'm not, I probably won't be able to come to church. No, that was his response. And I remembered, you know, probably 30 or 40 years before that, that he was tender before the Lord, and he made a bad, foolish mistake and fell into sin and wasted his life. And I don't know that he ever, ever got back to God. A lot of people have done that. I see people and read about people who live their life with it and had some understanding of eternity and spiritual things, but they just live carelessly. I know many of you, I didn't. He was dead before I was born, but my dad was a big Hank Williams fan. Country and Western singer who died when he was 29 years old. He died of, he was drunk and on drugs. His arm was filled with needle holes in his arms, and he died in the back seat of a car, 29 years old. Hank Williams must have had someone, a mother, someone who taught him. I don't know if he was raised up in church, but he must have had someone who taught him about the things of the Lord, because he wrote a song, and it was one of the songs that was he was known for. Let me read you some of the words. It says, "What good is gold and silver too, when your heart's not good and true? Sinner, hear me when I say, fall down on your knees and pray." The next verse, "Jesus died there on the cross so this world would not be lost. Sinner, hear now what I say, for someday you'll have to pay. What good is gold and silver too if your heart's not good and true? Sinner, hear me when I say, fall down on your knees and pray." Here's the chorus. "I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul." Hank Williams wrote that, recorded it. Somewhere along the line, somebody had taught Hank Williams about eternity. They had taught him. He knew. He had some insight into it. The night before he died, him and a friend who were traveling to begin several concerts that he was going to be in, I think over in West Virginia and the Carolinas. But in the state of Tennessee, the weather got bad. It was on December the 31st. 1952. The weather got bad. He tried to get a plane out of Knoxville, Tennessee, to fly over so he could be there for his New Year's Day concert. The weather was too bad. The plane turned back. They got in the car. He climbed in the back seat of the car. The weather was too bad, so they got a motel room. They were drinking and no doubt taking drugs, him and his driver. Women were brought in. One of the women that he was with, he spoke to her and he said, "You're the reason why I'm going to go to hell." Told this young lady that. Little did he know that the next day he was going to be in eternity. He had no idea. He drank and took drugs and partied through the night. His driver then started early in the morning, helped him to get in the back seat of the car, and somewhere between Knoxville, Tennessee, and somewhere over in the Carolinas, Hank Williams died. In the back seat of a Cadillac. That's a really sad story.
Let me tell you, there are a lot of sad stories and a lot of people that need God. It's a sad thing when the church has no eternal focus. Our focus is on everything else. How much I've got, what more I can get, what this world can offer me, the pleasures and the things. And I'm not trying to discourage you from buying gifts for people at Christmas time. I'm just simply saying we really don't need a whole lot of things that this world has to offer. Most of us are wealthy compared to the largest percentage of the world. We're so wealthy and we have so much. We may be like this man in Luke chapter 12. We have so much, and sometimes it's overflowing. And instead of just trying to accumulate more, maybe it's time for us to become more eternally focused than we have ever been. Amen. Begin to pour into the kingdom of God. Give of our time and our energy and our finances and pour into the kingdom of God in 2012 more than we ever have before. I'm thankful for the missions outreach and the lives that are affected and touched by that. But I expect that if all of us hear the call of God and we all really allow the Lord to deal with us about the lost, that we'll even do more. We'll give more. We'll pray more. We'll even go to those that are in need. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, that you can talk to us, and you do. Deal with us, Lord, about those things that are really important. I thank you, Lord, that you do bless us. You have blessed us, Lord, with so many wonderful blessings. But help us, oh Lord, help us, that our eyes would be open, that our focus would be clear, that we would see the need of men, the souls of men. And we would not allow the physical world to become such a priority to us, but instead we'd focus upon godliness and doing the work of God. That's the most important thing. Lord, help our priorities to be rearranged this month of December. As you have given to us, Lord, so many opportunities to help, to minister, to give, to pour out to the souls of men. Help us to not neglect. The Lord, to do what you've asked us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together.